15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or this, so we preach, and so you believe. Verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the passage that we have just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1 to 28. Okay. So today is the 1st of April, and as many people try to be to fool around, it is April Fool's Day. But we cannot afford to fool with the doctrine of the resurrection, which is encompassed in that those verses we have just read. Okay? People may fool around on the April Fool's Day, but not on this important matter. It is scorned at and rejected as myth, yet a clear teaching of the Bible, and well loved by God's people. God's people of all ages, from the day the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, and even before that, those of faith looked to the coming of the Savior and could recognize in that hymn, that psalm that we have read, something about this great son of David. God will see to it that he will not be under corruption. So those of faith in the Old Testament could see glimpses of this Savior. But we on this side of history, of the New Testament, it is such a doctrine that we love and hold, that the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. So we come to this message the significance of the resurrection of Christ. When witnessing to non-Christians, attempts often are made to prove the resurrection of Christ. It is not our purpose here today to do so. At times, they may be needed under the subject of apologetics, the defense of the gospel. There may be times needed, but not here. Here, we want to prove the resurrection of Christ. Our purpose is to study the event devotionally. And many professing Christians, they profess to be Christians, they enact the event as if they could somehow be reminded of the resurrection, and in some ways be granted more faith by carrying the cross, and some even tying themselves on the cross. But you will find there's great defect and a great danger in trying to enact the carrying of the cross and the crucifixion of Christ, which shouldn't be done. But to enact the event, as you see in Philippines, in South America, many of the Roman Catholics would do that. Somehow it's intended to build up their faith. But you will find the more the sight, the less the faith. If we had a cross up here, you can be sure your faith will be very low, because your attention will be focused on that physical cross instead of what God wants by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, on dying on the cross of Calvary, on Him being raised from the dead. And where will your faith be drawn upon? Upon the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So don't go and look for signs. Don't go and look for all these emblems, wearing the cross and all this. For it will not add to your faith. It will deter your faith and bring it very low, because you are relying on physical things to uphold your faith. Do not. Even the baptism and the Lord's Supper is intended to build up your faith. And if there is no explanation of baptism and no explanation of the resurrection, and you just, of the Lord's Supper, what you will be encouraged is by only seeing physical things, and that will not help your faith. The Word of God will strengthen your faith. Be assured, the signs and symbols that God used cannot be divorced from the Word of God. The Word of God must have foremost to build up your faith. And God has graciously used the baptism and the Lord's Supper as reminders. They may be physical, but the essence of it, you must know, that comes from the Word of God, of explanation of these events. Okay? So be clear of that. We want to understand the event of the resurrection of Christ. That is our main purpose. Okay? We come to the first point. The resurrection is part and parcel of the gospel. The hearing of the gospel is the means used by God to save. If you look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Everything hinges on the word of God, on the gospel. Okay? If you are not trusting in the gospel, on the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel preach, you are not a believer. You are saying you believe the word of God, and yet you find comfort in other things that uphold your faith. You will find that will be very disappointing to you. But the Lord wants us to put our trust in His word. Okay, it is the declaration of the gospel preached. You see. Not acted, but preached, which in those days there was acting, there were shows, but preached to you, which also you received. You took it as your own. You took the gospel as your own, and what the Lord Jesus died for you. You believed in Him, and you continue to stand. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When received by faith, and when held fast by faith, we are saved. So don't say, oh, when I was a student in the university, I joined the Christian fellowship. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is your faith now like today? Oh, when I'm free, I go to church. You know, when I'm able, I'm very busy, you know. I have so many things to do. Before you claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you find it difficult to hear about him. You find it difficult to pray to him together in the church and to serve. Oh, my friends, you can be sure that you are not holding fast the gospel. You are not standing upon it in which you stand. You're not persevering in it. So I have great fear for you that the gospel that you claim to have believed is only on your lips. It's not in your heart. What is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul summarizes it as he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. These two cannot be divorced. They are together. And because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God from heaven, you trusted in him, you put your faith in him as the word has brought you to him and what he has done to save you by dying on the cross of Calvary, by his blood that washed you clean. These two basic elements of the gospel is to be proclaimed, the person of Christ and the death of Christ. They are the most wonderful things that would save any sinner in this world. And don't be afraid to speak out. Don't be ashamed of him. Speak of who he is, the Son of God. Use that term, the Son of God. Don't be afraid of using that term. The fleshly mind thinks, oh, God must have a wife to produce a son. No. Every discipline has its own terms. Let me give you an example. Your key is an anak kunci. Does it have a father? Anak kunci, you know, the key. So you see, every field has its terms. Okay? The Son of God is referring to the close relationship, the eternal generation and the eternal relationship of God the Father with the Son. So don't be afraid to use the term Son of God. And people have to be focused upon the Son of God. We see in verses 3 to 8 in this chapter that Paul elaborates on the gospel he proclaimed. The coming of Christ the Savior, his death, his burial, his resurrection are all foretold in the Old Testament. And we need to preach not only Christ perfectly obeying God's law, that he died on the cross of Calvary and then stopped. We must speak of him being raised from the dead. Okay? Is it a living Savior that you are believing? Or is it just a set of axioms, a set of things that you believe, that you hold to, but you don't quite believe that Christ rose from the dead? It is a fundamental doctrine that if you fail in that, you are no true believer. Which Old Testament books, which passages speak of the Lord Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 30 to 32, it says, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ. That is from the Psalm of David, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So that is taken from the passage we have read in Psalm 16. God will not see his Holy One to decay. The emphasis here is Christ rose again bodily. He's seen by Peter, he's seen by the 12 apostles, and various others. He appeared to 500, and then finally to Paul. When did Paul see the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ had died, risen, appeared to the apostles and to 500, and he rose to be in heaven. When did Paul see the Lord Jesus? On the road to Damascus, the apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus met with him. You remember that incident? Who are you, Lord? Oh, he was brought low, and he was made blind, and until someone was brought to heal him. You see, the point is, the Lord Jesus Christ met him and appointed him as an apostle. See? So a mark of an apostle is that you must be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have seen his resurrection. So the Lord Jesus appeared to the apostle Paul. Resurrection is part and parcel. The resurrection was preached by all the apostles. We see in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9. Okay, let me read for us. Verse 9 to 10. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was preached by all the apostles. His perfect obedience to God, his death on the cross of Calvary, and his being risen from the dead on the third day was preached by all the apostles. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, here we can come to see that, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So you see, there was this unity and the same message that the apostles preached of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because if you preach some other gospel, you end up with problems, and you end up with the curse of God. You don't realize how detrimental it is to you, how dangerous it is to veer away from the grace that you may have first been reached. Be very careful. So we see the resurrection is part and parcel of the gospel. Then we see the resurrection confirms the faith of believers, verse 12 to 19. We want to see the relation of the person and death of Christ to the sinner. That is made clear in verses 12 to 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So there's this very close link between the person, the death of Christ, his resurrection, and to the sinner. So we must be very clear. It is a fundamental doctrine, the resurrection of Christ. Okay? Not only you harm the gospel, but your salvation is at stake if you do not believe the resurrection of Christ. Verse 14 says, the preaching will be empty. When the preacher's message is empty, that means devoid of the gospel, the true gospel, then the faith of believers will be empty. So it shows that the relation of the gospel to the believer, to the seeker. So we must be very careful what we preach in the gospel. The gospel preached is related to the hearer. And note in verse 3, died for our sins. All believers have their sins forgiven. Our sins of each individual believer and all the sins of each individual believer are washed clean, are forgiven. Okay? So let us be very clear of the relation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the sinner. Three important concepts are involved in this gospel, in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, you will have heard of the word propitiation. It is the turning away of the wrath of God to fall on the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the propitiator. Okay? He turns away. God is angry with sin and sinners. He's angry with sinners because of the sin, and his judgment is looming, waiting to crush us, and we shall die and go to hell and face the eternal condemnation. But the Lord Jesus Christ, on his death on the cross, bore the wrath of God. All the anger of God fell upon him, that he would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Only once he would say that. At the point of Calvary, for us, each day, the Lord is angry with us because of our sins. This whole world is under the judgment of God. And until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, we shall be crushed by the weight of God's judgment and anger, and we shall suffer that in hell. So there's propitiation. Then there's a ransom. When people are kidnapped, ransom is required, a payment. And so in this passage in Mark and in Matthew chapter 20, he came to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay? There must be payment. You cannot escape. You owe people money. And you want to forget about it? Very easy. You owe people money. But he is going to remember what you have borrowed from him. There is a reckoning. You will have to pay him back. Okay? Same with our sins. Our sins deserve punishment. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to bear that punishment. The weight of it. Can you imagine? Every little sin of ignorance, of deliberation, every sinner who was saved by grace through faith in him from time and space and age, you can see the weight of sin upon the Holy One of God. Oh, I don't think many times we have failed to see. We are often thinking of, he's forgiven my sins. But can you imagine how much that sin was? If you could weigh it, I don't think you can. The weight of sin of just one individual is heavy. And how much of all the redeemed, the multitude who shall worship God in heaven, the Lord Jesus bore that. For the Holy One of God to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken him, forsaken me? That was the crushing blow upon him. Where he had full communion every moment with the Father, and the Father said, at his baptism, at the Mount of Transfiguration, but he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did he ever say that to any of us? To anyone in the whole world? In times past? No. The Lord Jesus, perfectly pleasing to God. Then what else he said? Hear him. We are here today to hear him. And until you hear him, you are just busy doing your own thoughts and your own thing. That's why you're here. We want to hear him and to know that he paid for the punishment of our sins. Then there's reconciliation. We need to be forgiven. If we have offended God, God is the injured party. God is the one who is angry with us. The mediator has stood between us and the Lord Father in heaven to bear the punishment of our sins, and from that we have forgiveness when we believe in him. For the Lord has accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his death. Many people have died in this world for various causes, but they are forgotten, or they may be remembered, but their bones are still there. Sometimes the bones are taken away. But you see, the Lord Jesus died He brought us back to God. And you can't find his bones. He rose from the dead. He's seated in heaven, interceding for us this very moment. And so put together, these three concepts were summarized by William Tyndale, called the atonement. At one moment, all these things were compressed. The justice of God upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and love shown, they were all on the cross. So always look to the cross. When you are weak, when your eyes are focused somewhere, when you have trials, when you feel so discouraged, when people pour scorn upon you, people look down upon you or whatever, where do you flee to? You flee to the one who bore your sins away, if truly you have faith. Our sins are atoned for. Isn't this music to your ears? When you have understood, when you have believed the Lord Jesus, when you have experienced his grace, when you as a baby drank from the milk, and now hopefully you are taking in more meat. Oh, we should always be brought to the cross. And the day I'm still here, the gospel must be preached from this pulpit. If the gospel is not preached anymore, I will want to leave. And if I have not held fast to the gospel and want to remain here to be a member, you ask me to leave. Yes. Why? Because I have forsaken the Savior. So everything depends upon the Lord Jesus. Everything. The seat you are sitting upon, it can fall down. I remember once I was having a meal with someone, and as I turned my head and turned back, where's the person sitting in front of me? The chair had collapsed, and the person was pregnant. The chair collapsed. You think your chair is always so trustworthy? We think so, but a chair can collapse, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation made of gold, made of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is unshakable, unmoving, and always promising for us. It's music to the ears of those who have understood and experienced. But consider, for argument's sake, that the resurrection of Christ did not take place. For if the dead does not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So, Christ's resurrection guarantees ours. Consider the resurrection of Christ. If the chance you say that did not take place, you fail to see that the resurrection of Christ on the last day, the resurrection of the dead on the last day, and of Christ's resurrection from the dead, they stand together. If you deny one, you deny the other. If Christ is not risen from the dead, we won't be rise from the dead. You must well have a good time and live for this world, for tomorrow you die. So here you are, wasting your time coming to hear the word of God, wasting your precious Sunday to do all the things you wanted to do, which you said, oh, I think I have to go to church. You're better off having a good time. If there is no resurrection of Christ, and which means there's no resurrection of the dead, so your life here, your life is till the day you die. You must have a good time. But I tell you, this is the logic of the world. Because they don't believe in any resurrection. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, what's the point? You come here. You must have your great plans for Sunday. Which incidentally, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. If Christ is not risen, we are still in our sins. Then, he is not risen, his atonement is not successful. And we are not justified, as we read in Romans chapter 5. then no one is saved. And it's the most sad thing, for all will perish in hell. If we have no substitute to take away our sins, no one, no blood of the Lord Jesus to wash us clean, our heart is koto, dirty, full of sin. We need cleansing of His blood and our forgiveness of sins was not accomplished. It was just a good deed of someone, teaching many things, and yet he even thought that he would die on the third day, he would rise again from the dead. We don't use the words about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he did not fulfill that, dying on the cross and rising from the dead, what will you say of him? God forbid. But that is the situation. The Lord Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead according to the scriptures. We are the most pitiable of people. Our destiny is just like everyone else. You go and join some other religion. Do good. Do social work. Do all that you want to do. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is futile. We wasted our Sundays. We wasted our lives serving Him. So you see, the fundamental doctrine of the resurrection is so important. Others who do not trust in Christ enjoy life without bothering about what happens after death. Yet others have other ideas of what happens to them after death. But our faith rests on the resurrected Christ. He rose again from the dead. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared to many. Amazingly, he appeared to the ladies first. So despised in society, so looked down upon, he appeared to them first. You see how the Lord Jesus is so kindly, so generous, so open, so condescending to little children who come to him. Don't forbid the children to come to him. And he appeared to the women on the day of his when he was resurrected at the tomb. You see that the resurrected Christ sets us apart from those in the world. If your life, you believe in the Lord Jesus as the living, resurrected person who is seated in heaven, whom you pray to, whom you walk daily with. Yes, we want to walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ along the path that He has set for us. We are so different from the world. We live to be with Him. Others live for the sake of their families, for the sake of their well-being, for the sake of their luxury, for the sake of their job or whatever, their children or whatever. It is all in this horizontal plane. But we live for the resurrected Savior. And He shall return. The true, the living and true God. The Savior rose from the dead. Is that your faith? The resurrection is part and parcel of the gospel. The resurrection confirms the faith of believers. We will hold fast to it and our life will depend upon it. Otherwise, it's in vain. Then the resurrection now gives hope to believers. Christ's resurrection guarantees ours. He is the first fruits. Death came to human race through Adam. Eternal life through Christ, who is called the second Adam. Okay? Death came to the human race through Adam. Adam was created innocent. He had no sin with Eve. By being tempted, he took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God forbade them to eat of. Out of so many thousands of fruit trees and of plenteous, they were tempted and they fell into temptation and they sinned when they took the fruit. And Adam, being the representative head of the whole human race, we, his descendants, fell in him. Okay. And death to Adam's race, life to Christ's race. We heard of some people may say this. They claim to be Christian, but when they say that when Adam fell, the whole human race fell, they will say, it is not fair. I wasn't involved in Adam's fall. Basically, they're saying, I could have done better than Adam. But you see, you fail to see that there's a principle of the federal head. Adam was made to represent the whole of mankind. The Lord Jesus came to represent all of his people. So the point is, if you do not believe that and say, oh no, I'm only responsible for my own sins, then Christ has to die for just you. How many times the Lord Jesus Christ had to die? The Bible says he died once for all. So obviously that means the Lord Jesus Christ is the federal head of all his people. His death was and resurrection and obedience to God is for as a federal head for all that is that are his. Same that Adam disobeyed God and his whole human race fell. So we have an understanding of federal head. If you were a citizen of the country of America in December the 7th, 1941, when America declared war, I don't want to follow what the president says. I'll just, No. When the president declares war on Germany and Japan, the whole country was at war. And here you are, I'm not involved in the president's decision. I've already booked my flight to Japan. When you arrive in Japan, they'll catch you. Hey, no, I'm not, although I'm American, but I don't follow my president. The Japanese aren't going to believe you. You are their enemy because your president declared war. So you do understand what federal head means. Okay? So the Lord Jesus is the federal head of his people. Christ's resurrection guarantees the resurrection of his people. In verse 23, it says, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after those who are Christ at his coming. Now, you who have a fruit tree, and you put the badger, the fertilizer, and whatever, you may have put too much. So, no fruit. But you see, if the fruit tree bears like the rambutan, you see all green, It turns one yellowish. Oh, you have hope because it turns yellowish. And when it turns yellowish, after a day or two, it turns red. That is the first one. It shows that all the other green ones will turn red very soon. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruit. Okay? And because he's the first fruit, all those who are his will be guaranteed of the resurrection. And the end will come when the kingdom of God is delivered to the Father. We read at the finishing verses of that passage that we read. We see that Christ's resurrection guarantees the ending of all competing powers. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ now is reigning in heaven. Verse 25, for he must reign. Where? Because he was resurrected, he ascended to heaven, must reign in heaven till he has put all his enemies under his feet. All the enemies are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, only waiting for showdown. The showdown is an eventuality. It's an eventuality. There's really no showdown when the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will just happen according to what he says. Everyone, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those who have opposed him will also have to say that on their knees. he will conquer his enemies by the gospel. The gospel, while he hasn't come yet, the kingdom of God is expanding. The gospel goes forth. And the Holy Spirit works in an individual heart, which I don't know. But when he works in your heart and convinces you, your eyes are open, you're awakened, you can see, yo, really this is true about me, my sins. And God is angry with me, my sins. And I need forgiveness of sin. Where shall I find help? Where shall I find forgiveness? The Lord Jesus Christ will appear to you. By faith you will believe him, and you will rest on his finished work. The last enemy to be conquered is death. All who belong to him will be raised to die no more. Because of the first fruits, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. If he rose again from the dead, it's a guarantee for us. If you say there's no resurrection of the dead, you are just saying the Lord Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. Are you calling him? I wouldn't use the word. Are you calling him a what? If you say Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, which he had prophesied, which he had arisen and appeared to so many, now you're saying the Lord Jesus is a... I don't want to use that word. No. He rose again from the dead. And he will conquer the last enemy, which he has conquered on by rising from the dead. But for the remainder of us, the last enemy is death. There will always be those who continue to oppose the Lord Jesus to the end. Are you an opposer? You may still be a doubter, but if you are a true seeker, there is some hope, because you're seeking him. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So he wants you to come to him. He beckons you to come to him. That is what the gospel does. See how wonderful the Savior is. He calls you to come. Come, you know. But you must come by faith. You must come acknowledging your sin, and you must bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And all opposers, all false professors of faith, they claim to be Christian, but in their heart, they don't have allegiance to Christ. Other competing powers have allegiance they have upon this false professor, someone who claims to be a believer. What will happen to those who are opposed to the end? They will be resurrected with inglorious bodies, whereas those who believe in the Lord Jesus will be resurrected with the bodies, spiritual bodies suited for heaven. But you who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be resurrected with inglorious bodies to be suited for heaven. You'll be cast into eternal hellfire called the second death. That is in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Let me read. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is hell. And have you read the news? There are some parties in some churches now who are saying there is no hell. Wow, what a wonderful thing to say. There is no hell. You needn't have to suffer. You can just live your life as you are, and there's not going to be a judgment. You just say some nice things when you die, and show the nice record you have, what you have done in this world that were good. Don't bother about all the bad things, but all the good, and then show to God, because there is no hell. And obviously, he will take you in to be in heaven. But what did it say that I've just read? Hell is a terrible place of fire, and it will be enduring. You won't be able to endure, but it will be enduring. It will be worse and worse and worse there forever. Christ's return will be to judge the world as much as to gather his people to himself. we have to prepare to be ready for the Savior. We don't wait until He comes and then, wow. But when will He come? We don't know. How long you're going to live? We don't know. But why live a life? Tomorrow something may happen to me, I may go tomorrow, and then the next day, you can't live a life by just sitting there and waiting. You want to carry on your life. But what is the character and nature of your life? Will it be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a preparation before He comes, so that things in heaven, although many things will be new, but many things will be familiar? Why? Because the kingdom of God rules you are already living by grace, by love, His special love, by your care for others, in the love of Christ, by obedience to His word, because it slowly became part of your newborn nature. So you're more and more prepared for heaven. There will always be those who scorn the resurrection. Faith is needed. Faith is a gift of God. Without faith, you cannot please God. So you see, you want your eyes to see, because you don't need faith, lah. You want your eyes to see, and then, wow, miracles happening before you. Oh, it's a miracle. Wow. So you think your faith will be sustained? I'm sorry, no. Why? Because after a while, you will have forgotten it. Because your faith was not in the Word of God. Your faith wasn't in the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the sand just opened up and you sunk into the quicksand. Because your faith was not in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you want sight. You want to hear. You want all your senses to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will believe. But look at the people of Israel. How many thousands of them could see the miracles. Could hear His teaching. Could see what He had done to the blind man. To the lame. To those possessed. But did they all believe? No. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. God wants us to believe. And when Abraham believed God, what happened? And it was accounted to him as righteousness. It was as if the clothing of Christ, of His righteousness, was put on Abraham. By what? What did he do? He believed God's word. And he acted on His word. And there is that great test. God wants His people to believe. What He cannot see with your eyes or hear with your ears, He wants you to believe. 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 And you can't rest on anything you did, but isn't it? To be saved? If you are told to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, what must I do to be saved? Believe Him. You cannot carry any baggage with you. The door of salvation is so narrow. All your good deeds, you have to cast everything. And only wear the righteousness of Christ to enter that door of salvation. He wants you to believe. So without faith, you cannot approach God. So plead to God. Help my unbelief, O Lord. I have so difficulty to believing, but help me. The Lord Jesus seeks such hearers, such people He seeks, who see their need, who cling on to the Lord Jesus Christ and who cry out to Him and hold Him tight. You know, it's holding his seams here, his clothes, and not let go like that woman. And the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the crowd, knew that the woman was holding to Him. The Lord Jesus loves such a seeker. And if you've trusted in Him, it's the most wonderful thing. We must therefore continue to proclaim Christ and Him crucified, so that those who are His, the elect, may be called. The gospel must continue from this church. The day the gospel is no more preached here, the day we do not hold this the highest authority, you leave. You leave. You leave the church. If no more the word of God is the highest, if we are behaving with words only, and then we can do things to bypass this, it shows that the word of God is not the highest. Then you think carefully whether you want to stay. You leave. For this will no more be the church that the Lord is pleased with. The Lord wants our lives to be changed, but He wants the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ to be highest. So let us be of this type of character, people, and tell others so that others may be granted salvation by the Lord Jesus. For ourselves, let us take heart that Christ is risen. Do you believe this? So many times we shrink because our lives are telltale of what we believe. If you live your life for this world, you will build castles, you will amass all that you can in this world, and whatever the enjoyments and whatever. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but your motive, your attitude will show when you're the pursuit of all this, and then the voice of the Lord Jesus is dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You only resort to only coming to church on Sundays. That's all. Your Christianity is just to come to sing some hymns, hear someone preach, but no Christ in your life. But for those who truly are His, let us take heart that Christ is risen. It confirms our faith. It is part and parcel of the gospel. It confirms our faith and gives hope to believers. Is your hope upon heaven when the Lord Jesus returns, transforms you, suited up to heaven to be with Christ forever? That is that big question for seekers. But for believers, it is the same test that we hold the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who is interceding for us now. Where do you think the Lord Jesus is now? He's in heaven. What do you think He's doing? He's interceding for us as believers, that our faith may grow, that the words used by sinful man may build up the faith of people, of His people, and to await His return. If you live for this world only, you will doubt the resurrection very soon. And then when you're ridiculed by people, you believe such thing, man? No lah, just enjoy your life in this world. Your faith in the resurrection of Christ will be dimmer. And one day you may not believe in the judgment. No one wants to hear terrible things. They want to hear good things. So you may not believe in the judgment anymore. But if you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ of His death and resurrection, surely your life will be different. You will live for Him in such a way that others can tell, you seem to have some joy, something that I can't find in, you know, what is this? They will ask you. And you know, why you go to church? Why you go and spend so much time in the church? You explain. Your life is bound up with Jesus, the living Christ. And you will look forward to a heavenly home, and you want to obey and please the Savior.